Welcome to our service for the first Sunday of the season of the Epiphany, also our first service of this new year, 2024. May I wish you all a peaceful and blessed new year. In Epiphany, we join the Magi in lost in wonder and adoration at the crib of the Christ child. And our first hymn is John Newton's wonderful praise of that amazing grace. So to our time of confession, let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you, we have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us and set us free from sin. Strengthen us in goodness and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now the collect for the first Sunday of Epiphany. O God, who by the leading of a star manifested your only Son to the peoples of the earth, mercifully grant that we, who know you now by faith, may at last behold your glory face to face. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Our first Bible reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, beginning at the first verse, with these wonderful words. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you, the wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The New Testament reading is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the second chapter, beginning at the first verse. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. shield. For you alone may my spirit heal. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of Epiphany, the season that we associate with the adoration of the Magi. We imagine ourselves with them, kneeling in wonder at the crib of Christ. As the old Epiphany hymn puts it, with gold of obedience and incense of lowliness, kneel and adore him. The Lord is his name. There's a comical online Christmas card doing the rounds which says that if it had been three wise women who came to the manger, they would have asked directions, arrived on time, brought practical gifts, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable and made a casserole. It's a minefield, feminism, isn't it? You might think that that's a right-on feminist text, until you realise that what it says is that women do midwifery, cleaning and cooking. It's been fun having our two little granddaughters with us over the last week. But there are more ways than one to stereotype little girls. Despite the decades of feminism, there is an industry larger than ever before designed to get them interested in shiny frocks, Barbie dolls and frozen princesses. But down here in Wales, with their Nana Jane, there are no such trivial influences for our two girls. Jane, at different times, has taught them sewing, embroidery, craft, cooking and gardening. Again, we notice it's quite a female list. To be fair, she'd probably try to teach grandsons the same, if we had any. The wise men did, of course, actually ask directions. The Christmas card is based on the old mistake that they found their way to Bethlehem by following a star, whereas what they actually did, according to the story, was to ask directions from Herod and be pointed to the prophecy from the book of Micah, which we heard cited in our Gospel reading. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. We do love that story of the star, though. The camels in silhouette striding across the hilltop in the darkness on our Christmas cards, and the star shining ahead of them. And the idea of following your star has become another of the romantic myths we are encouraged to tell our children. Anything than rather using a bit of common sense. We know too that the gifts that the wise men bring have been the subject of allegorical interpretation in the Christian tradition. I suppose it comes mostly from the old carol we'll sing later, We Three Kings of Orient Are, the gold signifying Christ's royalty, frankincense his divinity, and myrrh as a healing salve for the suffering which he will be prepared to undergo on our behalf. Perhaps the other most famous interpretation of the gifts comes from the hymn In the Bleak Midwinter by Christina Rossetti, reminding us of the duty of our own Christian discipleships to offer ourselves and our gifts to Christ ourselves. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him. Give my heart. The idea that the gold, frankincense and myrrh symbolise Christ's royalty, divinity and suffering, respectively, is perhaps a helpful gloss on the text. But the real point of the gifts is simply that they are some of the most precious and expensive commodities of the age. The route that the biblical magi must presumably have taken is by no means original to them. There was a trading route, sometimes specifically called the incense route, sometimes the spice road, bringing frankincense and other spices from the east to the Levant and the Mediterranean. In this new year, As so many of us think about New Year resolutions, I would encourage you to look at the preciousness of the gifts that the Magi bring and ask yourself what it is that is most precious to you. What are the things that bring you most fulfillment in this new year? Some of them will be people-centered, centered on either your own fulfillment or the fulfillment of others. It might be the happiness of your grandchildren or your children. Or perhaps it will be achievement-centered, a task you're determined to fulfill in this new year, a piece of work you are determined to finish. It could be something material, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, some building work to be done at home, a new piece of furniture you've been saving up for, a more environmentally friendly car perhaps, or something like that. But take a moment to ask, what will be really precious to me, and how can I live in this new year to enjoy it, achieve it, or to make the most of it? And then my New Year's resolutions will be geared to the things that really matter to me. Then, when you've come to some kind of conclusion about the things that would bring you joy in the new year, you'll need to spend a moment thinking about some of the things that might get in the way. Some of them will, of course, be circumstances beyond your control. It might be your health that gets in the way, or other accidents or frustrations in the tapestry of life, as someone has called it. Some of them will be responsibilities which are more pressing than things you just want. I'm not free as a Christian disciple simply to live for the things which I think would give me the most personal contentment. Sometimes things I've wanted even for a long time need to be set aside because there are more important things that I must do for the Lord, or for my family, or my neighbours. Sometimes, though, if we're honest with ourselves, the things that get in the way will be fundamentally unimportant. We will have wasted our time on passing pleasures or passing fancies, which divert us from building the things which would bring us true fulfilment and happiness. There are not many things in Scripture that sadden Jesus more than when our own carelessness, ignorance, and sinfulness get in the way of our well-being. It's what makes him weep for Jerusalem. If you had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Be honest with yourself as much as you can about the things that get in the way of finding the fulfillment which would make the Lord rejoice over you, because some of them at least will be in your control. There'll be things to decide not to do, or to do less of in this new year, as well as new things to do, and things to do more. So, you may come up with just one thing which you think will be really precious to you in this new year. You may come up with a number of them. But however short or long the list, the next thing best to do is to lay it all down in surrender before the Lord. Not what I will, says Jesus to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, not what I will, but what you will. There's nothing good in this life which the Lord does not want you to enjoy, but there is also nothing that will not be enjoyed more fully and more lastingly if you have first surrendered it to him. Not what I will, but what you will. And when you have submitted your will to the Lord, you'll be freed to move on towards the goals that you have chosen. Here, perhaps, it's well to remember the old Roman saw, festina lenti, hurry slowly. Perhaps the most common mistake we make in setting ourselves New Year's resolutions is to make them too ambitious, too quickly, and too hard to fulfill, therefore. Resolve, instead, just to be each day a little further on, a little nearer to the things on which you have set your heart. As Jordan Peterson puts it, don't compare yourself with other people. Compare yourself with how you were yesterday and resolve to be just a little bit better today. Or, in the words of the singer Donovan, if you want your dream to be, build it slow and surely. Small beginnings, greater ends. Heartfelt work grows purely. If you want to live life free, take your time, go slowly. Do few things, but do them well. Simple joys are holy. Day by day, stone by stone, build your secret slowly. Day by day, you'll grow too. You'll know heaven's glory. If you want your dream to be, build it slow and surely. Small beginnings, greater ends. Heartfelt work grows purely. And, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will, said the Lord. Amen. It's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. In tad, at anoitin an evaith, sancte de enu, Dele de Dernas Gwnela de Wyllys, megid yn y ne, felly ar y ddear hefyd. Dyna ni heddiw ein bara beinyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion, fel y maddau ni na ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwain ni y brofed i gaeth eith y gwared ni thrag drwg, canis eiddo ti o'r Dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory of yours, now and forever. Amen. For our further prayers today, we use David Adam's Celtic prayers, Traces of Glory, for the church year. Let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord our God, you have created the heavens and the earth. Blessed are you, Lord Jesus Christ, you came among us and were baptized of John. Blessed are you, Holy Life-Giving Spirit, you descend as the dove and you fill us with life. Blessed are you, Holy Three, in you we live and move and have our being. We pray for justice among the nations. We remember especially any who are still held hostage, any who suffer from captivity or tyranny. We remember all those who are slaves to debt and pray for world banks in dealing with the poorer nations, that we may all work for justice and peace. Lord of light, enlighten all your people. We give thanks for all who have been concerned with our well-being. We remember parents and loved ones, those who have shared their lives and their faith with us, all with whom we work, all our brothers and sisters, all our friends. And among them, we remember especially all who are feeling badly bruised by illness, by accident, or by circumstance, all who are suffering spiritually or mentally, those with memories that disturb or frighten them. We remember all those who have lost confidence in themselves or in others. We pray for the world weary, the worn and the weak, that the Lord will give strength to all his people. Lord of light, enlighten all your people. We remember before the Lord those dear to us who have left this life, and as we come to the beginning of this new year, we pray that giving thanks for them in our past, we may live with their examples for our futures. Give us grace to dedicate ourselves to the service of our neighbours and of you. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing Father turns his face away as wounds that mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
A special prayer of blessing for the season of Christmas and Epiphany. May you be filled with the wonder of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the determination of the Magi, and the peace of the Christ child. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.